Say you carry bowl. The one way you and I they do daily. You know daily. Oh, something. One day my wife said that. I told my husband, please, we have to try and make sure water flows in our house. Let's go somewhere else where water flows. You know why? Because anytime we travel, all right, on holiday to my in-laws' place, my son that time, the boy go pee 20 times in a day. You know why? So he can flush toilet. He will just, that is, I want to pee, I want to pee. And once he pees, he must flush toilet. And peradventure, he doesn't want to pee. He must still enter the place and flush toilet. Ah, I say bush boy or nugu boy. The Lord is good. What I'm saying is, some people, they have never seen calamity. So their boldness is born out of ignorance, not out of faith. That's why a fool will rush into what angels, where angels fear to tread. You see the fool, boom, he wants to enter. See, what's going to happen? Nothing will happen. Just let's go in. He doesn't even know where they are going into. I told my friend that day, I said, oh boy, there is a reason to be afraid. I said, that you know the reason to be afraid is why you're a believer. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Not because I am bold, but why? Because the Lord is with me. A lot of people don't have God with them. They don't even know there is shadow of death in front. They just walk in. So the devil comes, removes their head, joins it to their legs. Confusion totally. They'll be walking like a man who is using his head to walk. You know, bang, bang, headache every time. Doesn't know what direction he's going. I didn't know it was supposed to be like this. That time he was very loving. Which man won't be loving when he wants something? You want to marry a man just because he's nice. Have you ever seen a man chasing a girl who's not nice, except the girl has a mental problem? You know, there are people who are, they love pain. Mike Mundock said they are perverts. Yes, they exist. They love pain. If you treat them nice, they won't like you. Slap them around, deny them of things, kick them, treat them like shit. That's when they will like you. May you not marry a woman who's that crazy. Otherwise, normal people, all right, they are nice when they want something. So I told my friend that day, I said, it's good that you are afraid. I said, but that is the beauty of being a believer. Now we cannot take our fear to God. Do you understand my point? We cannot now draw to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Do you follow what I'm saying? I told all of this to let you understand something. A lot of people that run away from problems, they're actually running into that problem through a longer route. Or through another route. Sometimes not even so long. Do you follow the logic? But that somebody will look and say, yes, this is my problem. And go to God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Listen, this is the solution. There is no escape apart from in God. You don't have to repeat the mistakes of the ages past. This height has always been with our ancestors. No, look, in my father's family, no man, all my uncles, they are all divorced. In my mother's side, all the women, all my aunties, they are divorced. My second auntie married 4 times. That is, once you see men, you are afraid. There are some very girls that look very nice and holy. It's not as if they are too holy for men. It's more of they think every man is a devil coming to break their heart. So they guard their heart jealously. Because, no, really, I'm telling you the truth. These things happen. People are just, they're in bondage. What is the escape? When you know it's very good, you package everything. You know one of the Bible stories I love the most? Ezekiel's story. He said, God, maybe you can read the letter yourself. All the letters that the Assyrians wrote to him, he went to the temple and laid it down. And said, God, see them. They said they will kill us, share our women, kill our children, do this one, raise your name. Will you let that happen? He said, God, you know, we don't have any defense against them. You are either with us or we are dead. And God called Isaiah and said, come, let me give you a message for Ezekiel. Go and tell him that they won't shoot one arrow, one, into the city. Listen to me, there is no defense, there is no escape but in God. That's what I'm saying. You take those same problems and go to God. I think that's why Jesus, those who don't serve Jesus, I don't know what they are serving. There are times I enter the house, I just say, Father God, how do they cope, those that don't know you? Because everybody has troubles. Sometimes issues happen and they want to give me a headache and give me confusion. At such times, I know what to do. I retire early. Sometimes I sleep first and wake up and grab a Bible. Read Psalm 23. Or read somewhere in the book of Ephesians. Or read a prophecy from Isaiah and begin to pray. And eventually I fall back to sleep, having quieted my soul. So at the end in the morning, I ask God, what happens to those that don't have this privilege? That is why, listen to me, if you don't serve God, you will serve Satan. You can't help it. Hear it clearly. If you don't serve God, you will serve the devil. Listen, this life, you don't have that amount of power. If you don't serve God, you will serve the devil. For sure. A lot of men who, you know, you see them outside shining, driving flashy cars. Go and see where they go at night. Go and see where they go at night. The man has a PhD. He's a professor. He's talking big English. Arguing that the Bible is not... When I hear those guys, I just be laughing. Oh God, I know where you go at night. Your types, they always go there. Because if you don't serve God, you will serve the devil. One old Baba in the village that cannot count 1 to 3 in English, we tell him, kneel down, remove your cap, use dirty leaves, pour it on his head. Tell him he will walk around naked at 12 midnight to a junction with this sacrifice. And he will say, yes, sir. He's looking for help. It's not possible that you won't serve God and you will not serve the devil. You must serve one of them. And listen, those men who go to those places, it's not out of joy. It's out of what? Desperation. There are issues. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. You are following the point I'm making. That's why, look, when we talk about give your life to Christ, I don't know why people beg people. I say, oh God, don't give your life to Christ. Satan will soon show you the reason why you should. We'll see you when you need us. As for us to be begging you, please now come to church. Beg you. Peter will finish preaching. They'll say, Peter, please, excuse me. What must I do to be saved? I hope you're following the point I'm making. Please, let me try and consider what I wanted to say. So you see, the problem is that people trying to run away from things that scare them. So a girl feels like, all my life I've been very poor because my father is not rich. When my friends were wearing the fine clothes, I wore the old ones. When all of them were using nice phones, I used discarded phones. Therefore, listen to the recipe for solution. Therefore, I will not let this happen to my children. I will marry a rich man. God said, very fine. Another whole generation before this problem stops. So when the young men come around, men of vision, is what, look, when he's a Christian, you can be sure that if you have this attitude, you're in trouble. If you're a Christian. When young men who are serious with God, who are going somewhere in life, come, you just look. Ah! As the guy is talking, it is sizing moto. Then they calculate, say, this guy, he doesn't have money. And the Bible says, the man with an evil eye runs after wealth, but does not know that poverty will come upon him. That's a verdict. Listen, money is one of the stupidest things that Satan uses to deceive people. You know why? Because it's there in the Bible. It can grow wings and fly away. Said, when wealth increases, don't set your mind upon it. Don't. If you are rich today, don't even worry. Look, don't think that you are made for life. It can disappear tomorrow. I have seen people who had money before. Next day, they are begging. No, really, I've seen it before. This not, I'm sure you too have seen it. It happens all the time. I remember once I was watching one whole movie at home. This was on TV. I had a good laugh that day. It was K.O.K. Kanayo, that was acting that role. His wife's brother was yapping him. Stupid man. Useless man. It was a movie and I was laughing. You know why I was laughing? Because the man, he didn't talk. The girl, the wife and the brother, they were angry with him, abusing him thoroughly. Just sat down there. Just tapping his feet. After they left, they said, oh, now I'm a stupid man. Eh? When I was sending all of you money, I was not stupid that time. When you were in school and I was sending you money, I was not stupid that time. When I was taking you abroad, I was not stupid that time. He's like recounting stories of how he used to be rich, you know? And I was laughing. Because it's a movie, but that's how life is. That is how life is. Are you getting my point? The young woman looks and says, no, it won't happen in my generations after now. And God says, fine, you don't understand. I want to help you, but you have made the decision that will make sure it happens again. You are getting the point I'm making. What should such a young woman do? I've told you, listen, there's no substitute for prayer. There's no help but in God. You will go home. You know, God is very kind. Let me beg you, don't speak any language, I mean, words you don't understand when you first approach the throne of God. What I mean is that you enter the place. Lord, I want to pray. Oh, thou Father that dwellest in light unapproachable, whose feet stretches from Jupiter down to the earth, who tabernacles in light that men cannot approach. When you start like that, God knows you are not ready yet. Yes, he knows. But you know why? You don't know what you are saying. If I say, Lord, Pentecostals don't like it, but it's the truth. I'm not saying don't speak in tongues. Like Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. That's not what I'm saying. When you want to pray, don't, you know, approach his court with thanksgiving. And his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Lord, we just worship you. And we come because thy name is still so excellent. And the excellency of thy name is unfathomable. And the unfathomability of your name overcomes all impossibilities. And the tremendity. God will just look and say, look, Gabriel, when she's ready to start, call me. Am I saying you shouldn't praise God? You should. How do you praise God? God in heaven, the only one who can help those who need help. You know, that makes meaning. God said, very fine, that's my name. When people are poor, it is you they come to for prosperity. He said, then you know me very well. In the time of sickness, who can heal but you, my God? Don't use any phone. If you can, look, use the language you know the most. If you normally speak in Igbo, speak Igbo. If your normal language is English, speak English. If it is Greek, you like to, you know how to speak, speak it. But please don't perform. Oh boy, if you want to lie on the floor and cry, it's a good thing. Shut the door, cry. Say, God, I'm coming, let me finish my cry. Cry, 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 cry. Carry all the water in the bowl. Say, what are you doing? Say, Lord, this is your sacrifice for today. These tears. My son, what are you looking for? I'm afraid. I won't lie to you. I am afraid. Listen, the things you say in God's presence, when you direct them towards him, they are not unbelief. It's when you go and tell your friends, hey, I'm afraid, what shall we do? That's unbelief. When you go to God and say, ah, have you seen the giants? Or say, ah, there's trouble. That's why I have come to meet you. Then he will give you a word. God is so kind. Now he looked at Gideon. He said, peradventure, your heart is still afraid. Then come. Take one of your men. Sneak into the camp of the Midianites. You will hear words that will give you encouragement. And he went in there and he heard one Midianite telling the other one that I dreamt. What did you dream? I dreamt that one loaf of bread, a piece of nothing, fell upon the camp. All of us perished. And that one said, ah, that must be Gideon. When Gideon heard that, he knew God was with him. I'm telling you, some of you have never seen the manifestation of God because you haven't approached him truly. I know you have fasted and prayed, but you haven't talked to God properly. You have jumped all night. This is the day that go home. For you, those kind of prayers, you can't pray them in public. You crawl alone. Say, Father, my auntie is divorced. My grandmother was divorced. My mother right now, you know she's not with her husband. That's my father. These are the problems. This is why I don't want to marry. It's not because I hate this man. I have a feeling it seems to run in families. They run in families. It looks like this will be my portion. This is another thing. But I have heard you are the God of the impossible. I heard that if any man and any woman be in Christ, she's a new creature. All things are passed away. Will it be my portion? Listen to me. If God needs to, he will speak to you in a voice you can hear. Listen, you can't approach God with confidence, with boldness, with sincerity, and he won't answer you. It's not possible. He won't leave you alone until you have gotten a word of assurance. The problem is that you have chosen your own path. The Bible said, those that kindle their own fires, this they will hand of my hand, they will lie down in torment. Somebody now lied to you that if you don't ever want to be divorced, you will now prepare a 400 question questionnaire. And the young brother who is chasing you will ask you, am I applying for a job here? How many of you and your family? Six. Where's your grandfather from? How did she meet your grandmother? What does your father do? What does your mother do? Has your father ever slapped your mother? Was in your presence the friendly presence of your siblings? After a while, the guy will look and say, are they come? When he appears again, he will show you his certificate of NYSC. You know what I mean? What do you call it? First degree, second degree. Maybe it's a job interview he's attending. He will show you everything. Send you that thing, Madam MD. This is my CV. Study it overnight. I will be back tomorrow. Where are you going now? Oh boy, I'm going because I don't understand what's going on here. I have seen women that they are so afraid. They believe that every man is an adulterer. And listen, your faith creates things in your life. You know, there's one thing about faith. God will look for responsible men and make sure they don't come near you. Because your faith will wreck their life. Are you getting what I'm saying? But if you approach God in sincerity, say, Baba God, please help me. You see, God is very kind though. I know what I'm saying. He's very kind. He will understand. I mean, the Bible said he's mindful that we are but flesh. He will understand. You will prophesy, oh God. If God needs to create a brand new man for only you, he will do it. Say, this one, he will love you till you die. And you will see a vision that will play the whole life. I'm telling you the truth. But this is the problem. People want to create their own path out of their problems. So they say, I will never marry a man that doesn't. God. When she's getting married, you see the guy will be rich. But because she has a poverty soul, oh God. Because her spirit is a spirit of poverty. Once she marries him, his problems begin. And God knows what he's doing. Normally what he does is that, the man who is destined for trouble, he sends the person that guy's ways. Do you understand my point? The man who will have trouble in life, he will send the person in the direction of that woman. The two of them will merge and problems will begin in their lives. But what should they have done? What should she have done? Simply have walked up to God and prayed. And then she will really have married a man she really loves. Do you understand my point? And together they will have struggled. Okay? And together they will have triumphed. And together they will have become rich. Do you follow my point? Listen, let me tell you the truth. You can deliver her all you want. Okay? You can. You can pray all the prayer that you want. You can cast out all the witches and all the demons. She will not be free. Do you know why? Because only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Only by the word of God is somebody delivered. No, there's a reason why I went all of this. Don't forget what I say. That what would the person have gotten deliverance from? The word of God. Because a lot of the things that happen in life, go and check out those ones. They say, everybody, every man is always leaving the women in our family. Go and check out the women. They are stubborn. They don't listen. That is where Satan tabernacles in their lives. God will show them revelation. Show them revelation. See, no, there's no witch in your auntie. There's no witch in your mother. There's no witch in anybody. You know the problem? All of you don't understand what it means to have a husband. And what Satan has been doing is to blind your ears. Now you have prayed. Do you understand? I will open your ears and revelation will come to you. Now, this is what I'm saying. When men want to solve problems, they physically struggle. When God wants to solve problems, he gives a word. He sent his word and it healed them and did what? Delivered them out of all their destructions, all their struggles, all their troubles. Is the word that he sent that heals. What am I saying? So when the young woman learns the word of marriage, listen to what I said though. When her light comes, then God gives her a marriage that will shine forth, and this is a good part, and give encouragement to all the women coming after her. Are you getting what I'm saying? When the man hears a word of prosperity and believes God's order, do you follow? Because like I told you, when people are trying to run out of problems, often that's when they enter into the problems properly. They say, I will never be poor, I will never be poor, I will never be poor. They become very sharp in business. God said, very fine. Start stealing. Listen, if you want to be poor in life, let me give you a few things to do to ensure that you will never do well. Cheat people. You hear what I said? Cheat people. You will never do well in life. Make sure you cannot be trusted. That's the beginning of your problems. A lot of people, you know why they do that? They think that is the way to make money quick. But God said, if I want to help you, you know what I will do? First thing, I sit you down. That's why while editing that series, our seeds program, I was very excited. Because truths were being told. I was hearing it again. And if anybody practices those words, especially when his sins have been forgiven, which is obtainable in Christ Jesus, then success and victory is the person's portion. Do you follow my point? Now listen, when you have now heard the word of truth, that's what I'm saying, God now leads you in the path of righteousness so that you will enter into the victory that will bring you real prosperity. I hope you are following what I'm saying. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to try. I was telling you the story about Mary Kay. Because of the words that she knew that were the proper lights to use to do business, God gave her a platform to shine. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's why Jesus said, therefore I say to you, take care how you hear. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, the emphasis is not on struggle, but on what? Hearing. The emphasis is not on what? Struggles, but on what? Hearing. That is, it's when I focus on hearing that I imbibe the truth. The word enters into my heart. He said, take care how you hear. I go with my heart in prayer to God. Say, God, cleanse his heart. And let me tell you, to him that has, more shall be given. What does that mean? When you have a wicked heart that doesn't receive the truth, God will first reveal it to you that you are a stubborn person. How do you eradicate stubbornness from your heart? It's simple. It's not a determination. It's a prayer. New Year resolutions don't work. You don't even need to do these things on the New Year. If you find out the problem is on, if you find out your problem with you on December 25th, do it that day. If it's October 15th, do it that day. If it's April 5th, do it that day. If it's January 22nd, that is, forget New Year. You don't need the resolution. What you need is a prayer. Let me recommend this book to you again. Ben Carson's story. Gifted Hands. I was reading it again a few days ago. And the man said when he discovered he had anger. Now, that the anger was as if he had hold on him. That the first day he was arguing with a friend, he didn't know when he hit the guy with a lock in his hand and broke the guy's head. The day he knew there was real trouble was when his brother jumped on him to hold him from punching his mother. And the day he really became scared, when he knew things were bad, was when he took a knife and stabbed his friend. What saved the boy? The boy was wearing under his shirt a big belt, you know, belt with big buckle, like a paramilitary belt. And the knife hit the belt and dropped on the floor. He said he looked at the knife and began to cry, apologized to his friend, and ran home. Ran home, there was nobody, ran into the bathroom, locked the door, and began to cry and pray. He said he cried and he prayed and he begged God. Listen to me, that was the last day till today. In fact, his colleagues in the office call him Gentle Ben. That's how much gentleness has come into his soul. If he said, I'll never be angry again, don't worry. The next one, a soldier, you go slap. The soldier will show you something. I'm telling you, soldier, by the time he's through with you, you won't know they're in front of the barracks. By the time he finishes punching the living daylight out of you and removing all your intestine. And you think you will stop, you won't stop. Listen, all the challenges of your life, God is trying to use them to drag you to him. That young man, as a young teenage boy, he knew where to go. He ran to the bathroom to go and meet God. He stayed there and prayed until God removed that. Look, listen, I've told you, the problem is not, no witch is chasing you. Witches don't chase people that don't have personal problems. Did you hear what I said? Let me say to you, Satan cannot hold a person that doesn't have a personal problem. And if you know you have a personal problem, better run to God and go and confess it. And go and beg for help. Most people do it rationalize. It's not my fault now. Why should he say that kind of thing? He didn't know I was angry. And I didn't mean to stab him, but you know, he should have known when to stop. When a man is getting angry like that, he should stop. God said, this one doesn't need help yet. It doesn't need help yet. Are you following the point I'm making? Are you following the point I'm making? Listen, once the word of God comes, he removes something from you, enabling you to hear better words. Do you get what I'm saying? And when the final light dawns upon your soul, it's a matter of time. Because you see, that's why I said the word works by itself. God has, he's the one that lighted your candle. Do you follow my point? He said, no man lights a candle and then hides it under a bushel. That is the person that lights the candle that puts it on the candlestick. That's why we read from that Revelation. Listen, this is what Christians do. You want to be successful as a businessman, don't try and build a business. Go and learn what it means to be a businessman. Go and learn how God defines success. Go and learn what God calls right and wrong. Sit down and learn it. Then a good business will grow out of you naturally. Success will follow you without effort. Are you getting my point? You say, okay, everybody has been divorcing. You see, let me tell you, nobody is happy driving away a wife he has had for 20 years. Nobody. So you ask yourself, look, I don't mean to be angry with women, but this is a matter of fact. Most of the women that their wives drive away after 20 years, the man endured her for 18. I don't know whether I get the point. I'm not saying all. There are some crazy guys out there, I know. But let's not use them as standard. Most, the men endured. Vice versa too. There are women that just say, I beg. Say, I never done in the last 18 years. Nah, God. What I'm bringing up from there is this. So don't think that they are stupid people. They just didn't understand what made for success in that area. Do you understand my point? They just didn't understand what made for success. So what will God give you? He will give you light and understanding of what makes for success. And then he will now give you a platform to manifest that light. I'm not a perfect man. Far from it. I'm getting better every day. But let me even tell you one of the things that I got better in. My wife will love to hear this. For a long time, they're saying this my wife does, and this just is for you, all right? And the thing used to annoy me, what used to annoy me is that, you know, because I hate telling somebody something 5 times, 7 times, and the person still is doing it, like those who come late and sit anyhow, you know, that kind of thing. That's why I said, nobody passes that day, I just got tired, all right? Uh-huh. Now, so one thing my wife would be annoying me on, one single thing, the same thing, you know, 5 years after you're married, the same thing. Then last year, the Lord gave me revelation. She's looking at me. Say, what is the revelation? I'll tell you. Revelation was that she's doing it deliberately to annoy you. It's not as if she hasn't learned it. That when she wants you to get angry, she will not do this. So, you know what happened? When she does it, I'm not the vex again. when my wife has a particular attitude, I just say, you know what she wants to do? She wants me to get angry. And now we refuse to get angry. It makes it more painful to her. I learned that just last year. For your information, this year, it'll be 10 years I got married. It's in the 9th year I learned this one. The bank, you don't get angry. That's the purpose. That is, when you want to attract somebody's attention, you know what I mean? The person not listening. We begin to do all go vex them. What am I saying? We keep learning every day, all right? But this is the main thing I want to say. But fundamentally, the things I practice today, I learned them as a child. And when I say child now, as a young man on campus. The two shall become one flesh. Till today, it amazes me how some believers practice it. Husband has her money. Wife has her money. Is it husband that has her money? Okay, husband has his money. All right, sorry. Wife has her money. And each person decides what they do with their money. Listen, I don't know which gospel you will learn. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, that's not the gospel of God. Listen, nobody taught it to me. I meditated those as a young man. I said, it doesn't make any sense. The two shall become one flesh. The two, everything they will have shall be in common. I learned that one as a young man. And I said I was going to practice it. Believe me, I used to say that my wife can't have two bosses. The guy at home and the guy in the office will be leaving me at 7 o'clock. I'm coming back at 7 p.m. If it's because you have money, I say it's not because it's not because you have money, anything. All right? I know people who earn 10 times what I earn and their wives still struggling money till night. Why is it like that with me? It is because of what I believed 10 years ago. It has become flesh. And the word becomes what? Flesh and dwells amongst us. If you imbibe the word of God, it will become flesh and dwell in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you imbibe the word of God, I said what? It will become flesh and dwell inside you. If you imbibe the word of God, it will become flesh and manifest. If you hear the truth concerning marriage, your marriage will be excellent. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you hear the truth, people say if you want to be a millionaire, think like a millionaire. I don't nonsense. If you want to be a millionaire, think like a servant. Jesus said, whosoever will be the greatest amongst you, let him be the servant of all. That what makes for greatness is service. So you want to enter into business, go and ask yourself, how do I serve people? Whatever you want to do in this life as a believer, go and find out, how do I serve people in it? That's how you profit with God's word. And the only way is, how can a young man keep his ways pure? How is it? By keeping it according to your word. That is, once you have imbibed what God says, by himself, he will give you a platform to produce the manifestation. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, let me say this one again, because I know it annoys people in Eastern Nigeria. Actually, the whole of Nigeria, just because I'm a preacher in Eastern Nigeria. I'd like to say it again. To the Christian, there's no witch worrying you. Did I hear an amen? Amen. There's no generational curse that can disturb you. Say another amen for me. Amen. The only problem Christians have is ignorance and lack of knowledge of the truth. He said, my people perish, not because of their enemies. My people perish. He never said it was because of what they don't have. My people perish. It's not because of the generational curses against them. My people perish. He said it's because of what? Lack of knowledge. When you do your things the way the world does it, you get exactly what they get as results. He said, from Zion will flow forth the law. That is, we set the new standards for people to follow. Let me say it to you again. God is looking for you to help him set his standard for the generations after you. Did I hear an amen? That is, when you have done what is right, people will give you as an example. Do you follow? I always tell my wife, I say, look, it's not just about you. It's about the young women who are, do you know, there are some people that, and that's the way God did it too. It's not because of any other thing. It's just the way God did it. He has appointed me as a teacher and as an instructor of the people of God. Therefore, young women will look at my wife and want to behave the way she's behaving, naturally. So if you see her, say, Pastor Mark, come here, Joab, wouldn't they worry you? You don't know, it's inside your soul. Then when one brother is chasing you, that's how they come out. What did they do you for head? And when he gets angry, he says, after all, Pastor Bank doesn't get angry. And the guy will look at you and say, you and your Pastor Bank, two of you are the crazy. Do you follow my point? He said, let the older women teach the younger ones how to love their husband. It is a process of loving a husband. Let them go and learn it. He talked about Sarah. He said, whose daughters are ye if you continue in the faith? That there's something that makes you a daughter of Sarah. Sarah is supposed to be followed. Only one woman rationalized away the humility of Sarah. I couldn't believe it when I heard it, when my wife reported it to me. I said, now, you see, the word has become flesh in her life. She said Sarah was a stupid woman, in summary. At that time we're talking, 4 years had passed, she and her young husband had been divorced, separated. You can't believe that Sarah is stupid and you remain a good home. It's not possible. Are you out of your mind? It's not possible. So you see, Sarah was a woman that was laid back. It's not a typical woman. My wife looked like, said, wait, Joe, which Bible, when she came home, said, my husband, please come. Which Bible are some people reading? This was what I heard today. Relax. Ask her where her husband is. Then you will understand that this world doesn't work like that. I hope you've got my point. This is how you prosper from God's word. Perseverance. The word must sink into you. You hold on to it fast. In the midst of trials, listen, some people are going to call you woman rapper when you begin to love your wife. You know what I'm saying? You know, I can't begin to discuss this. Maybe amongst married men we'll discuss it. There's some stupid questions I used to hear that time. Can you wash your wife's pants? Yeah, you're a fool if you can't. You want me to say it again? You want me to insult those who can't again? You know, some things are very stupid. Very easy. No. I could just say, look. You ask me that kind of question. If you're not careful, go wash your head, Joy. The Lord is good. What I'm saying is that there are times people will laugh at you. A man said that you can't let your wife know all the money you have. Me? I can. And I have, and I continue to do it. Not only the one I have, the one I'm even expecting. Do you follow what I'm saying? And listen, that gives my heart more, gives my wife more secure than any other thing. She knows all the money I have, so believe me, her heart is secure. Therefore, she trusts me everywhere I go. Maybe somebody will say, "Who, Pastor Frank, who are you talking to today?" See the kinds of texts they sent to you on phone. I've gotten all kinds of very lovely texts. You know, people love me very much, male and female. Doesn't mean anything to my wife. Just pray she go read them. Pastor, one of your girlfriends sent you text. Now you go read them for me. I say, which one of them? The day she said that one, said, one of your girlfriends. I say, which one of them? I say, oh, are there plenty? I say, you know now. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The word becomes flesh. If you believe that which is true, it will produce results in your life. I hope you have made my point today. Father God, I thank you for the word that has come for today. Bless your people, increase them. And this coming week, let great things, luck, you know what we mean by luck here, blessing, let it manifest upon their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, those there, as I was speaking, there are those who their hearts are drawing towards certain things that have been fears in their hearts. Lord, tonight they will come before your throne. I ask, in agreement with them ahead of time, that your Holy Spirit will go to that place of their fears and fill it with confidence and the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, as you go to pray, the Spirit of God will guide you. Speak, look, freely. You don't have to perform before God. He will solve your problems this night in the name of Jesus. You will arise from that place of prayer with the word of truth. Listen, once that word comes, there is a word that will come. Some will hear, don't be afraid. Go and write it down. Write it somewhere, put a date on it. Some will hear, do something. Write that thing down. Others will hear, stop listening to this. There are people that they will tell you, there's a particular auntie of yours, don't visit her again. Because that's the person who has been poisoning your soul. Write it down. She's not a witch, it's just her bad words. Her bad words. Write it down and don't go near that home again. God will give you direct steps concerning what to do. Listen, you are a victor. You are a victorious person. You are not a failure. You will never lose your husband in the name of Jesus Christ. You will never be poor in Jesus' name. Listen, there are men. Listen to this carefully. There are men who were going to be poor. I told you that Kenny Higgins said that he told the Lord that my wife, I have a sense in myself that she's supposed to die early. And God said, yes, it is true. But she lived to be over 80 years of age and died as a fulfilled old great-grandmother. Why? Because she married a man who could pray. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, there are men who were destined for poverty, but they will marry you because you have prayed a prayer of prosperity and both of you become wealthy in the name of Jesus Christ. Look, there are girls who were destined. Listen, I don't have time to discuss the meaning of destiny. For broken homes, lack of children, all kinds of things. But you as a young man, you will marry her because of the strength of your soul. Together, you will be married for more than 70 years. And you will see your children, your children's children, and their own children also in the name of Jesus. And this is how much you will prosper. The kind of gifts that you will give your daughters, your sons who are marrying are these. Companies, cars. Do you understand my point? You say, oh, you are getting married. This arm of the company is yours in the name of Jesus Christ. God's desire, he said, I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in good health. Even as your soul prospers. In the name of Jesus, you will prosper. In the name of Jesus, you will prosper. Listen, there's no curse against you. Listen to me. You will not die early. They said, don't go to your village. Go. Surprise your father. Go. Show up in the midst of everybody. I declare to you as a servant of God, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Because there is a righteousness in Christ Jesus. You have been washed by that blood. All the blood of Jesus. It says it washes white as snow. Are you getting my point? Nothing can touch that purified soul of yours. Because indeed, the hedge of God is around you in the name of Jesus Christ. Child of God, don't be afraid. You are a victor. You are a victor. You are above alone, you are not beneath. You will not fail, you will succeed. Let me say it again. You will not fail, but you will succeed. In the name of Jesus Christ. I commend you to God, Paul said, and I'm saying it to you again. And to the word of his grace. He said that word is able to build you up. It will give you your own inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. In the name of Jesus Christ. It will give you your inheritance.